Okay, good evening. So other gift that I realized yesterday, other than the patience in the carol singing, was like the gift of singing also. So I was thinking I could really, I mean, like I realized that gift. But in reality, I was not singing, I was actually reading the song. So yeah. So we had a great time yesterday. I think after a long time, I could see the entire Bangalore in like 2 hours time. I really saw Bangalore city. Things were changed. So okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening, our gathering. Thank you, Lord, for the season that we have, Lord, to minister to the lost world. And as we come here this evening, Lord, speak to our hearts. And bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. For the scripture portion, we'll just read a verse from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the part A will read. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And from the New Testament, the book of John. John 1:29. The B part, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Keeping the gospel in view, I was reading the gospels and keeping this gospels in view. The world had a expectation and the world had a preparation. But it was not a surprise to the careful reader of the Old Testament, for it plainly declares that the promise of the Savior or the salvation was not exclusively for the Israel, but it was also for the entire human, mankind. So when we see that the coming of Jesus Christ, if you go back to 2000 years ago, the very first Christmas, and every minute details of the coming king or the Messiah clearly declared in the Gospels, if you could see. And we could come to a stage that how one could miss out the Messiah when all the things were given. Because his coming was not in secret. Second, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he has got many identical tags on him. It seems it's impossible for one could miss out the promised child. So a couple of things I was thinking, like the tribe which he would come from in Matthew 1:3 and Luke 3:33 says about that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, because all the kings of Israel came from that tribe. And the place where he would born, in Micah chapter 5:2, it says the little place called Bethlehem. And third, the line of his genealogy. Isaiah 11:1 speaks about he is from the family of Jesse. And Jeremiah 23 verse 5 speaks about he's from the house of David. Last but very important thing, in Isaiah 7:14 speaks about the virgin birth. So irrespective of all these identical tags, a nation in majority failed to behold Jesus as their savior. So in the initial chapters of the Gospels, we could see how Jesus Christ was introduced to the earth, right, to the world of men. But later we also could see that his earthly ministry, we could see that Jesus pointing out to the Old Testament scriptures, and he also saying that I came not to destroy the law or the prophecies, but I came to what? Fulfill the law. And he also declares that I am the truth. Because I am the truth, you come and learn of me. Matthew 11, 29, it speaks about it. So, I was thinking the two aspects or two things that he did in Christ's earthly ministry. That one, his teachings, and the second is the works. So whenever Jesus went, he preached or he taught the people, they were astonished at Jesus Christ, because there was no one spoke in this manner in which the wisdom or the authority and the power which Christ executed. And there was a simplicity in which Christ also preached. So that caused people to draw attention to Christ. Yeah. So in the second, the works, the supreme miracles of Jesus Christ, the outward manifestation, we can say the it was evidential, right? And the other part is the atonement work also. In the Hebrew 9:22, yeah, it says that without the blood, yeah, so there is no forgiveness, right? So every Old Testament sacrifice is points out to the Christ. And also the cross is the centrality of the believer's life, right? So Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it is 1:18 speaks about, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for us, it is what? The power, correct? So I was thinking this season is something we really enjoy, you know, the work that which Christ has accomplished. And we also proclaim for the fact that Christ not just died, buried, but he also what? The resurrected, right? So the in the Gospels, if you look at the other than the people and the Christ, the angels plays an important role, isn't it true? So in the initial, they were the, you know, the angels like back and forth had a, you know, communication. And they're proclaiming the coming of Messiah, right? So the coming of Jesus Christ. But at the end also we could see the proclaiming, they are proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. So they were rejoicing for the Christ was given to the earth, and they were also rejoicing for the fact Christ risen. But I was thinking, but in between, it was a sinner who has a, it was a revealed to the sinner that the mystery of the something called redemption or the grace. So angel doesn't know much about the redemption and the grace aspect, but you and me, we are called to enjoy the mystery of this, that, you know, the grace aspect or the you know, what it means a sinner to be saved. So a certain group, the majority of the certain group of the Jews, they were looking for a Messiah. They had an anticipation and they were looking for a Messiah. And they are also looking at Christ and thinking that is he the one that we are looking? Is he the one, the Messiah? Is he the one anointed? If he is the Messiah, how he could save us? And the second, if he is the anointed one, how he could spend time with the sinner? But in that process, they completely lost or they miss out the complete, the person and the work of Christ and the life that which spoke, right, in his the earthly ministry of Christ. They completely, totally lost. But thank God for the people who really can behold this aspect. So the church is a place that we completely redeemed by the work of Christ, right? And not just that, we are also what? Proclaiming the same message that we have heard, and we have received Christ by faith, and we also proclaim the same message. And so Christmas is a time that we really celebrate, you know. So I was thinking last message, I don't know, someone, I think Pastor Anil or Emmanuel said, Christmas is not about the shopping or the eating or something, right? So I was thinking, what if I could have heard the message 1 week before? I could have said so much, yeah? So yeah, but yeah, it's the time, yeah, over. Like, you know, the Christ came, he finished his work and he's gone, yeah? But people missed him. But thank God for the people who have received. So angels doesn't know, I was saying, right? So, but the aspect of the grace and the redemption work. But in Luke 15:10 says, for the every single soul, when it's added to the kingdom of God, they rejoice. Correct? And we also rejoice for every soul which is added to the kingdom of God. We may not know in time. So the every track that we share, I mean give, every the conversation that we have, but it is a great opportunity that we have to minister, yeah? But Christ has a record of all these things, yeah? So, and our great, this the reward is something, is like a great reward, because of what? And because of the salvation is not because of the human being, I mean like, it is not by the merit, but you know, it is says that the great salvation, right? So because of the great salvation, and we also have the great rewards in heaven. Amen? Thank you.
Okay. Great word. A lot to muse on, right? Child born, son given. It's a difference there, no? Doesn't say son born, child given. Child born, son given. And that was like a beautiful thing. And then humanity and deity expressing itself, even for an amazing salvation. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. We'll take the offering now. Okay, so offering is a good time to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when we hear messages, last Christmas also, I think Pastor Daniel shared, Christmas is not about shopping and eating. But we forget those kind of things, no? And we break all rules. That's okay, you know? So, we will give by faith, you know, the proportion in which, imagine the proportion in which we spend, the same proportion we give. Is that amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could do that? And if we can, like, you know, I think a person who gives is the one who really understands and appreciates the gift of being blessed, what it means to be blessed. So givers always will never lack anything. Just always believe that. A couple of things, the ones who give, the ones who evangelize, the ones who pray, the ones who are body Christians, they will never lack a blessing in their life. And giving is a critical aspect. So let's give by faith and believe God's miracle upon our lives. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word we heard. Thank you that child is born and son is given. You came for us. The greatest gift was something that you gave. You first gave the greatest gift. And in our giving, may we really appreciate and learn to appreciate the values that are associated with giving, the blessedness, the impact, the consequences of that. And we see the blessedness of Christianity really has to do with people giving their own lives for the sake of the gospel. And teach us to be givers in every sense of the word. And bless our offering now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, good evening, everybody. The Bible says we should live by faith, Today I'm going to preach by faith because I can't see your faces. But I believe that you're listening to me. Okay, Luke chapter 2. And okay, now faith has become sight. Yeah. So Luke chapter 2. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for that beautiful introduction, Lord, and minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it was good to be on yesterday's outreach and in Vince's house. And as I was studying for the message today, I was just thinking, like when I was giving out the tracks, like why wasn't I mobbed? Why wasn't I mobbed? My shirt torn and, you know, like why wasn't it considered precious and valuable, what I was offering? What if I was doling out 2,000 rupee notes? What would have happened to me? Correct? Or doling out diamonds or gold ornaments or free agreements for free flats or free cars, free bikes? What would have happened to me? Right? It's something to think about today. Something to think about. And people take the track, throw it around, fold it as if it has no value. And we will look into the scriptures as to why that happens. We see here that when in the incarnation, when the Lord Jesus was born, he was born in a very simple situation, very ordinary circumstances. And here we see there's no room in the inn, so he is in the manger, in a stable, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now the question here to consider is this, you know, how can anybody know that he is the one, he is the savior? Like we are walking past and there could be many babies around, you know, and there could be a poor lady with a little baby. How do you know that that's the savior, right? So in verse 8 it says, while they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is very beautiful because now the angel of the Lord appears to simple shepherds and says, speaks to them about the good tidings about the Savior or the person who will save and deliver, who is Christ the Lord. And you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. That's beautiful. The angel tells them. And because the angel tells them, now we see in verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. That word known is beautiful. The Lord has made known to them, right? And then in verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know, I was just thinking about this point as to why is it so different as to what the world considers as precious and what we consider as precious. Because in 1 Corinthians 15:46, first is the natural and then is the spiritual. Right? If you were to give money, or if you were to give something or some gifts, like a Santa Claus kind of thing, people would appreciate it and take it. But when you give a tract, you want to share a message, they think it is foolishness, it's of no use, it's of no value. But that same tract, which may be 20 paise or 25 paise, and that 3-minute conversation of yours, if they take it to heart, it can save them for eternity. Right? Who does that? Who does that? It is the Holy Spirit who does it. You know, I was just thinking about my own salvation. That God was patient with me. The gospel was shared to me. Maybe I was 19 and it took me a year. And at the age of 20, my eyes were opened and I believed in Jesus as my Savior. And I'm sure that we have similar stories of our own salvations, right? And who does that? It is the Holy Spirit of God. So nobody can know Christ as their Savior unless it has been revealed to them. It was revealed to these shepherds. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31 is God's choice of people. He chooses the foolish, He chooses the weak, He chooses the not so noble, right? That is God's choice. To reveal what? The preciousness and the value of who Jesus Christ is. Who He is, what He has come to do, what He has achieved through the resurrection. It has been shown to us today, right? And that is so beautiful for us to understand that without God opening the veil in 2 Corinthians 4:4, without the Holy Spirit doing it, it is impossible for us to know or understand Jesus Christ and what He did for us. And as we think about this today, this is, you know, it gives us such great joy that what the world considers as foolishness, we consider as tremendously precious. The world considers money as valuable, property, assets, gold, and so on and so forth, possessions. But we consider the knowledge of the word as valuable. We consider this book you can buy for maybe 300-400 rupees as valuable. We consider this as our life. Who does that? It is the Holy Spirit, right? And because it was told to them, they went and saw the baby, then they proclaimed it everywhere, and they came back and they started what? Glorifying and what? Praising God. You know, today, you and I, we can have tremendous joy in our hearts. And we can have a tremendous celebration in our hearts. Even if you don't have a single thing in your house, if you don't own a house, you don't have much, you're struggling financially, or you have bad health, it's okay. Because of this message, that the gospel message has been spoken to us and our the veil has been opened and we have believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior and He is in our heart today and we have received this gift of eternal life and we now understand that He is the most precious thing or possession in our lives. if you want to look at it that way. We don't look at God as a possession, but the most precious person in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was given to us because it was revealed unto us, right? So as we think about this subject of the birth of Jesus, I've read it many times, it's a simple story. Ordinary people who opened their hearts, obeyed God, and Jesus was born in very ordinary circumstances. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths, but his worth was only known to them whom it was revealed. Right? Is it possible that there is a diamond in your flow and you don't know that it is there? And so when there's some repairs and they dig it up and you find the diamond, oh, worth millions of dollars, right? Like in an analogy, sometimes we don't understand the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't understand, right? And if you have Jesus in your life and I have Jesus in my life, we have everything, right? So this is a beautiful theme for us to understand today. Why the Bible is so important in our lives, why the Word is so important. You know, I was just thinking, if Jesus is the most important person in our lives, then there should be queues outside the church to get into the church. But where do we see the queues? We see the queues outside this cricket stadium. Queues after the outside the cinema halls on a Friday when the movie is just released, right? Right? Why do we see? Because people consider that like valuable, precious. They're paid a ticket. They have a premium ticket, correct? To go to a concert or a movie or something. But sometimes we don't have the same kind of excitement when we come to church. Sometimes, and I'm speaking this to myself, there's no excitement. Why? Because in our minds, that which was valuable has now become common. So this is a good theme for us to meditate on this week. Thank you for participating, for singing, for praying. This is a good thing, right? Once God has shown us the spiritual and we go back to the natural, then we are devaluing Him and the Word of God. When we put the natural above the spiritual, when we put ourselves above God, when we put our desires and our material desires and our material things and our material aspirations above God, then we are reversing the order. We reverse the order. And then there is that excitement is gone. There's no more interest in the Word of God, right? So this is a devotional thought today. I was just thinking, like, what do we really consider precious in our lives? Right? Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." There your heart will also be. So let's think about it today. Yes, Christmas is not about the externals. It's not about clothes, new clothes. It's not about decoration and food and sweets. And if you have it, that's great. Enjoy it. Do it. Do it to the max. But it's not about that. Christmas is much more than that. It's not about lights and, you know, the feel-good factor. It's about understanding that God was so loving and so kind that He has opened the veil and He has revealed the message to us. Right? Have you ever thought, why don't the top scientists of the world, the top technological people, the top doctors, the top engineers, designers, all these, the top leaders in the world, that why don't they understand this message? And why has it been given to us? Has been given to us because God loves us deeply, right? And as He beautifully said, in John 1, he came to his own, and his own received them not. But to those who received them, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. It was not like we were heartily waiting to receive him. It was revealed unto us, and therefore we were able to receive him. Amen? The gospel was preserved and revealed unto us. Therefore, we were able to receive him. And today, you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Right? So as we think about it, this is God's way. It is the spiritual way. It is given to us in 1 Corinthians 2 through the Holy Spirit. Because for the natural man, verse 14, it is foolishness. But how has it been revealed to us? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches the deep things to us, and we compare spiritual with spiritual, and we are able to understand the worth and the value of the birth of Jesus, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, and today why we are here. Amen? Right? So in conclusion today, if you are saved, you have a personal relationship with God, you are going to heaven, and if you have a Bible in your hand, according to the Bible, you have the most precious things in the world. There's nothing more precious than the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit who has been given to us freely. Nothing more precious. Right? And you and I can be what? We can be what? Praising and what? Thanking God. Praising and thanking God. And that is why we go around and share the message. Because it's not only for us, but for the whole world. So don't get discouraged when somebody doesn't take a tract. They don't respond to the message. Don't get discouraged. We were also like that, right? We are depending on the Holy Spirit to open their eyes, to open the veil, and to understand and to believe. Right? But in Matthew 13, we are those people. Blessed are you to see and to hear and to understand and to be healed. To be healed, right? And to have eternal life. We are those people. So let's be encouraged. Let's have a great time Friday, Saturday. Come to church. Be encouraged that God loves you. And if you know this truth, it's because he has shown it to you. It cannot happen naturally. It is supernatural. It is spiritual, right? And if you have the Bible, even the ability to understand is given to us by the Holy Spirit. No man can understand the Bible by himself. It's by the Holy Spirit, right? And if we know anything and we understand anything, it's purely by the grace of God. So let's be thankful today, right? Thankful. And let's be prayerful that the same gift which God has given us would also be available to the whole world. It is available positionally, but be available experientially where they hear it, they understand it, God opens their mind, and they become believers, right? And they get saved. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you, Lord. Your word says your ways are not our ways. In Luke 24:21, they said, we were hoping that you would redeem Israel or you would save us from Roman rule. They couldn't understand God's ways. They couldn't understand the Lord's purposes. That he not only came for that particular generation, but he also came to do a work for all successive generations. But today we thank you, Lord, that you have opened our eyes to see spiritual things. You have opened our minds to understand spiritual things. You have opened our hearts at a point in time to receive you as our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 3, it is so great a salvation that we have you in our lives, Lord. That you are the most precious person in our whole life and in the whole world. We have your word in our hands and for the understanding that you have given us over the years. Bless each person here. Pray for the Friday outreach, the Saturday also. We would have many, many souls would get saved. Pray for Pastor Solomon to be healed, Pastor Brian also to be healed, for Bindu, for my mom, for my sis, Lord. And just for us to have a great season, Lord. Great season of rejoicing and praising in our hearts. We worship you, Lord. We worship you for your kindness towards us, in loving us, in choosing us, in revealing yourself to us, in saving us, in making us born again. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.